Pastor Ray has been influential in my pastor's life. I've served along my pastor and father-in-law for many years. And Pastor Ray helped my pastor, who's been at our church for 29 years. But before he came, he had visited our church and flew down here. And Pastor Ray said, "Hey, is God calling you to pastor in Washington State?" I'm glad you asked him that. And because I married pastor's middle daughter, I guess we'll talk about that a little bit. But just so thankful for all the things that God has used this ministry and preacher to do, because it impacts more than just the people in this room. And I was just over this morning with Pastor Kerry Brown. He was my youth director before serving there at Faith, and also another person that pastor and the ministry has been influenced on. I'm so thankful for that, so I really appreciate that. I know that this is a commencement speech and a graduation, but it's also a Wednesday night service, and it's always a little bit different because there are so many guests and visitors who come, and they're like, "Hey, I'm just here to see family. What are you doing here?" Well, who tricked me into the message? This is a bait and switch thing. This guy's got a Bible. What's going on? And just in case you didn't really want to hear me, we put cake out there for you afterwards. So it's like, are you going to be done? Where's a clock for this guy? Please, someone. And no, I'm so thankful. I just genuinely have a couple things that I want to give to Christian, and I give to all of us for just a minute. Now, we've got to laugh so far, but I would say this too. As adults, you and I know that we would never turn to our young people and say, "Well, you figure out your education by yourself and let's see if you make it." We all know they would never make it through high school. So we bring teachers, right? And praise God for teachers. And there's probably the majority of people in this room, and I'm very much one of them. We can look back in a key time in our youth or childhood, and a teacher helped to change the course of our lives. We cannot say thank you to our teachers enough. And you teachers keep going, especially because we don't want to teach. That's the other reason to keep going. Keep going. But we know that about our young people. We know they've got to have the support. They got to get home and have mom and dad say, "No, you got to do the homework. I mean, this is a part of it." They need that support. Yet, we go through adulthood and don't seek support in our lives. I want to tell you this. I'm a visitor here. Maybe you are too. You need a good support in your life to have success in this life. You know that about these young people. Why is it different for us? And Pastor already told us, it's harder as adults than young people. You know, you need support to survive, to make it. Find a good church. One that God will send you to, where people care about you, the man of God prays for you. Right now, you may have zero people in your life praying for you. You come to a church like this, you're going to have people praying for you. People who love you enough. Now, you're not going to like this part if you didn't like that part. People who love you enough to tell you the truth. And not just your spouse. They're tired of being the only one to tell you the truth. Right? Have someone to come and tell us the truth. You're not worse off. I've not met people through the years who, "Oh, my life was destroyed because I gave it to God and sought after Him and followed those supports that God put in my life to help me." You know you need help. God brought you here. You may feel like you're just here for a young person, but I promise you're here on purpose tonight. And God had an appointment for both of us. So, now, anyways, I'm done with you. I'm going to talk to Christian for a minute here, talk about some things. I'm going to turn, I have my Bible, and I'm turning to 2 Samuel real quick. And again, I know this is kind of a mixed service a little bit, but in 2 Samuel chapter number 7 is where I want to find the text tonight. And just draw a couple simple thoughts. And if you don't mind, because it is a different service, I'm actually going to use a little bit of my testimony because I feel like that's very appropriate. One of the things that we're doing in life is we're not just passing on education through here's some mathematics and here's arithmetic and this kind of stuff, but we who have some of these gray hairs, some more than others, and as we go through life, we've learned, you know, sometimes the good way, sometimes the not so good way. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to pass that on to the younger generations and saying, "Hey, run a better race, walk a better path, learn from our mistakes. Don't make your mistakes, you know, and this kind of thing. And so I want to just pass on some things tonight. So now we come to 2 Samuel chapter number 7, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies." And I want to point out real quick, this is King David. King David is towards, he's later in his life. The kingdom's been established. And I don't know if you've ever thought of this or not. Saul was the first human king of the nation of Israel. And in honesty, he didn't do a whole lot to build it. But God used David not just to fend off the enemies of Israel, but God did an amazing job in using David to actually build a kingdom. And we may not think about it, but there was no real judicial system in place. There was no real government in these types of things. It didn't even have a capital until Jerusalem became the capital, the city of David. God had used him to build the nation, but all this kind of infrastructure in this kingdom. And now David's a little bit further on in life. He's made some good decisions. He's made some bad decisions. He's learned a lot. And so here, we're recounting this time where later on in his life in verse number 2, "And the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle in the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel. Spake I a word unto any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth." Pray with me. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for all that we've already seen. And we do. We're so thankful for this place that we can have Christian education. We're thankful for these teachers and principals who sacrifice, the moms and dads, the many prayers, the extra hours at work to make something like this possible. And Lord, thank you for these young people and how you continue to work in their lives. And Father, it is our goal, our highest ambition in their lives to raise them in the nurture admonition of the Lord. And I pray that you just use these words tonight. I know there's so much excitement and so many things we're thinking about, but I pray that this simple truth, and Lord, just literally a piece of my heart and life, would minister grace to the hearer, would edify the body, and would really challenge this family, but especially Christian as he goes on his way. We love you, Father. I pray you'd use the message. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's David. David is sitting in his house. There's peace on every side, and he's thinking, and he says, you know, he thinks about the Ark of the Covenant and how it had come up, and he thought it's just sitting in the kind of the tabernacle, just sitting in a tent, and he wanted to build something, and so he calls for Nathan, his seer, and he calls for him, and boy, he didn't even, I don't know if you noticed or not, he didn't even finish saying what he wanted to do before Nathan said, hey, do all that's in thine heart. And all of a sudden, that night, the Lord comes to Nathan the prophet and begins to speak to him. And I love how God approaches him. God doesn't approach him like, oh, you want to do something for me? You want to build for me? No, God reminds him who he is, how big he is. God reminds him, hey, I don't need a place to live. I own everything. I've made everything, right? I brought your ancestors out of Egypt. I did all of these things. And then he comes to David. He's not chastening David, but he's reminding him of his past and how all of these things, how did the kingdom come together? And how did his throne come together? And how did this complicated mess of a life, perhaps from the outside, come together? And God reminds him. And here it is, what we find in our text here. In verse number 8, just for time's sake, Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcot, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. God reminded him, and we have to be careful, parents and family members, we do not want our young people to grow up uneducated, disadvantaged, but we also have to be careful that we do not exalt education above God himself. And boy, at times, I've seen young people in our church and God's got their hand on them and they're growing and they're excited about the things of the Lord and possibility. And all of a sudden, relative steps in and says, no, 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 they got to go to 4-year college. No, 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 they got to go to this college and they got to do this. And they're too much. And this is what they'll say, because their future, as if to say, man, I can't just leave him in God's hands. What a mess. I got to send him to some university or something. I'm not against that. We just got a young person who, matter of fact, who just got his residency for being a medical doctor back in our area. We're so happy to welcome him home. But I'm going to tell you this. Our hope for his life is not in a degree. Amen. It's in God. Amen. And all of a sudden, God is reminding David. And you and I, when we speak of King David, I don't know if you know this or not, outside of Jesus Christ, King David is the single greatest king the nation of Israel ever had. And yet God reminds him where he found him, where he brought him from. You know, in this society, it's not a secret. You want to get ahead in life, you got to know somebody. You got to come from somewhere. You got to have something, right? You want to play sports. Hopefully your parents played for professional sports if you want to get an advantage. All these kinds of things. But there, now listen, but with God, there is no limitation to God where he can bring a person from and where he can take them to. He reminds David, hey, you were following sheep when I brought you. And I made you king over an entire nation. I protected you. I did that. Only God can take a life from any location and move it where he desires. And yet, we feel the compulsion of human beings to take control of our own lives. Because if I don't, I mean, it's just going to be a mess. And yet the truth is, God can take these situations, and you go through the Bible and you think, look at Joseph's life. I mean, Joseph, of all people, should have had like 6 therapists and all these things. And yet he's second in the land to Pharaoh. And when his brothers come, what does he testify to? God did this. God took what you and I might consider to be chaos. And he'll do something amazing with it. It was my senior year in high school. And my parents, as Pastor had mentioned, my parents had gotten divorced. And my mom, because of that, my mom had gotten a job in Seattle. We were living in Tacoma, and just north of that is Seattle. And so we had to move closer to Seattle for my mom's new job. And it was the senior year, so we were moving about 45 minutes away from the Christian school that I had gone to for about 5 or 6 years. And I told my mom, I said, is there any way that I can graduate from the school I've been going to? All my friends go there. I play in the basketball team and all this stuff. And she said, you know, that's a big responsibility. It's a 45-minute drive each way. And I said, I will do it. I do not want to go and graduate from a new... And some have had to do that. And I said, I'll do it. I'll drive. And so sure enough, I'm going through my senior year and I get a good about 2/3 of the way through the year. And then on my way home one day, I stop by this little gas station, got 3 burritos for $1. You can't buy a lot of nutritious food 3 for $1. I just want to let you know that ahead of time. And I get back in my truck, and it's a little stick shift truck, and I go to put it in first gear, and funny thing is it won't go into first gear. And I'm like, okay, that's a problem. And then I try to put it into second gear, and it won't go into second gear. I'm like, now remember, I'm about 35 minutes from home at this point. So finally, I get it into third gear. I have to drive. Now, if you know anything about manuals, I had to drive my truck home starting in third gear. Thank you. I get home. I find out my transmission's toast. I have no way of getting to school. My mom has to have her vehicle. And so I missed like 3 weeks of school trying to get the money together, get my car truck into the shop, get the transmission repaired. Finally, I get back to school, come back into school, and the principal says, and I'm so thankful to be back, and the principal says, hey, I need to see you in my office. And, oh, okay, all right. I'm thinking, I can't be in trouble. I haven't even been here. And so I go in the principal's office. He says, Dan, I don't know how to tell you this, man, but in Washington State, you have to maintain so many days of school or else your school year doesn't count. And you've missed too many days. And he said, now, if you withdraw right now, I can give you all the credits you've earned to this point. But if you tried to stay and finish, I can't give you any credits for any part of the year. Well, I didn't want to waste what I had, so I had to withdraw. That year, and it was an auditorium very similar to this, but it had a balcony in the back up in the top. At the end of that year, I sat in the balcony and watched all of my high school friends graduate right in front of me. I hadn't done anything wrong. The next year, and at that time, that's when we started going to Faith Baptist Church, and they had a smaller school, and pastor let me enroll. He didn't know much about me, but he let me enroll, and he said, how much school do you have left? I said, I have about a half a year left, and I was just thinking, I'm going to come, work as fast as I can, and get out of here. And I know there's so many people just, oh, I love school. School... School and me weren't friends. We weren't friends. We weren't buddies. So he says, well, we haven't got your transcripts. And, you know, we require different things than your former school did. And we don't exactly know what it's going to look like. And I said, I don't care what it takes. I'm graduating this year. And he said, okay. So we start into the school year. And, man, I was true to my word. I mean, I'm going as fast as humanly possible and all this. And we get further. We get about a third of the way into the year, and finally the teacher wants to meet with me, and so I go meet with the teacher, and they said, listen, we got your transcripts, and some of the classes that they require, we don't require, but some of the classes we require, like typing and things, they don't require, and they're hemming and hawing, and I'm like, well, what are you telling me? This is what you're telling me. In order to graduate this year, you're going to have to do a year and a half worth of school. Now, wait a minute. I only had a half a year left, so how do I have a year and a half? I was so frustrated. I didn't realize it, but as time was going on, I didn't understand. I was too young. I was entering into a depression. Had no idea. Because to me, if you would have said depression, I thought, oh, I'm down, I'm discouraged. But that's not necessarily what a clinical style depression is. I was dealing with insomnia. I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't go to sleep. I'd wake up. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to face life, all these kinds of things. But I was still plodding through life trying to make these things happen. And now I find out I got a year and a half worth of work to do. And my dad had been, and I'm not picking on my dad. I love him. He's in heaven right now. But he had been a drug addict alcoholic for 30 plus years of his life. And I was giving a little bit of his testimony today to Pastor Ray. When he finally, towards the end of his life, later in my life, he had gone to AA. And he had gone in, he was in this AA meeting the first time ever. And he told his story to these other men. Now, you know, I don't know if you know anything about AA, but it's all about supporting one another and helping one another and all these things. When my dad finished explaining his life and everything he'd been into, the guy next to him looked at him and said, you will never make it. And God used that. He got so angry at that, he came back to those meetings just to prove that guy wrong. And my dad was such a live wire that people from other AA meetings would come to his just to hear his testimony and everything. But anyways, point being, I had sworn off any kind of alcohol and drugs and anything like that. Not so much just because I'm a Christian, though that's a good enough reason, but because what I had seen in my dad's life. My dad had come to me when I was a young man and said, hey, I don't have any right to tell you not to drink and do drugs and all this stuff. That's hypocrisy. This is what he told me. But Dan, look at my life and ask yourself, is that who I want to be as an adult? That same year at New Year's, even though I was going to a Christian school, don't tell him. Even though I was going to Christian school. I had some friends who went out for New Year's, and I went out with them. My mom knew that I was, she thought I was just over at one person's house. Anyways, went out with some friends, and we to this thing and did some drinking and different things like that. And nothing horrible happened. God protected me from me. But the next day when I woke up, I knew what I had done and what that had done to my dad's life and all these things. And man, I was just hitting the low of the low. And this is what I was thinking. What is going on in my life? Like, I can't sleep at nights. I don't even know if I'll get to graduate this year. And this is how I felt. I didn't do anything wrong. Right? I went to the Christian school. We had these blue pants and light blue shirt. I always joke that we dressed like Smurfs. And anytime I say that in a Christian school, some of the people say, my parents never let me watch that. Great. But man, we had to dress this way. And I think, I didn't do anything wrong. Why am I being punished? Why am I being punished? So, anyways, I don't know. Not too long after, I hit a super low, and one morning, this is not pulpit fodder. This is my heart. This is my life. I didn't spice it up for people. This is what happened. So one morning, I get up. This is after all these things have happened. I get up, and I'm happy. Now, when you haven't had peace or joy in your life for years, some of you know what I'm talking about. You know what that feels like when you wake up. And I thought, man, this is weird. And then I thought this. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be happy. And I didn't think anything about it. At the time, I was working at Sears Automotive, even though I was going to school and all this other stuff. And I went to work that night. You know, went to school, went to work that night. And before I clocked in, I was sitting in the back room just thinking about this. I was like, man, this is weird. This is so weird. And a verse came to mind, even though I really wasn't in my Bible at all. A peace that passes all understanding. And this is what I thought. Now listen, this is what I thought. That can't be God. That cannot be God because I'm not living for God. God is looking for you even though you may not be looking for God. See, it's man-made religion that tells you you're bad, naughty, 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 and God doesn't want anything to do with you. The reality is he's not come to destroy men's lives but to seek and to save that which is lost. God's been looking for you whether you was looking for him or not. And that's what he said to David. Hey, when you were a boy and you couldn't discern right or left, I was there. Every injustice, every hurt, every sorrow God has seen in your life and cares about. And you go, if we care, why did he let it happen? Well, listen to the rest of the story. So I'm sitting in the back and I'm thinking, this is crazy. So I come out onto the sales floor. And the second I step out, there's somebody, I can't even remember what we did to his car. We must have burned it or something. He was furious. And I'm the first person he saw. And all of a sudden, literally, I'm not 3 seconds onto the sales floor. And this guy is in my face, yelling at me. You guys, rah, rah, rah. And the thing that just totally floored me was that peace and that joy was just right there. And here's a guy yelling at me within, you know, a foot of my face, and it didn't disrupt that peace at all. And because it so weirded me out, I was starting to laugh. And I'm like, I'm trying to keep a straight face. And I'm and I'm just like, I cannot believe this guy cannot get me upset. I went home that night, I sat on my bed and I thought, same verse, peace that passes all understanding. And I said, Lord, if this is the peace you've been trying to give me, then you can have the rest of my life. I don't even care. I just don't want to live without this peace anymore. Amen. After that time, my life began to change. And it already had been. My life changed dramatically. One of my friends in the school, who I didn't have any interest in, she didn't have any interest in me, was a young lady named Sarah, pastor's middle daughter. The second I got right with God, and I'm not kidding, I'm not making this up, next time I went to school, wow, she's really pretty. You know? And all of a sudden, that's my wife, just in case you're wondering, is currently my wife of 23 years. And all of a sudden, my future bride in school, pastor and his family were so supportive. I have pictures to this day. I've got pictures of me sitting at a typewriter in their house. I would go to school all day, and if I wasn't working at night, I would go home and do more schoolwork. And I'm in their house with a typewriter doing endless lessons, and I graduated that year with a year and a half worth of work. That same God used Pastor to not only be my father-in-law, but really to be my dad for all these years. The ministry I have, the family I have, everything I have came from God. Now please hear this. But it didn't start in the castle. It started out with the sheep. It didn't start in clarity. God didn't send me a blueprint and say, it's going to look a little sketchy, but don't worry about it. I'm in control. I had to follow him by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And Christian, I'm so excited about your graduation and the possibility. And I know your family is too. Right on, family, for love and support. But I'm telling you this. Don't make the big mistake of thinking I have to take control of my life. Don't take something so precious and entrust it to somebody who's not totally qualified. No offense. Right? Come on. Hey, all of us older people who've been chewed up and spit out are own. That's right. That is absolutely right. Do not do that. We know better. David, just this part of the verse number 9. This is what God said. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. I know it doesn't all make sense. I know it wasn't all fair. But do you know God has actually been with you and your family the whole time? And he's not planning on stopping. It's not whether or not God wants to direct your life. It's whether or not you're going to allow him into your life. And I want to tell you this. Just because you graduate from a Christian school doesn't mean you're going to. That is an individual decision that every single person makes. And we're not done just to people wearing caps. And is making. Right? I know people who come to church and still say no to God's will. Right? God said, I'll be with thee. I've cut off all the enemies out of thy sight. So many times we're dealing with not just, you know, we're talking about David's talking about the tribes and different things around him and stuff. Hey, what about those things we fight inside on a day-to-day basis? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God says, I have sufficient power to move inside you and change you. But will you let him? Will you let God fight for you? Or are you still busy doing it your own way? Right? This is what we're afraid. We're afraid God's going to run us in a ditch. We're afraid God is going to make us a cookie cutter person. Right? Comb my hair a certain way, dress a certain way, and all these kinds of things. And that's not true. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. This helped me. I'm from a very different line of people. I'm going to say that much. I found out that my weird sense of humor and weird personality and all these things, God designed me that way on purpose. You being different is a problem for God. He did it on purpose. But unless you seek him, you're never, please hear this, you'll never discover why. And your life will always be out of place. I want you to think about this. Some of the greatest heroes in the Bible did not fit as young people. Joseph's own family did not understand him. David's own family did not understand him. God knows why he put us where he put us and what he's doing in our lives. And let me finish up here, Christian. He says, I cut off all the enemies and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Don't exhaust your life trying to make your name. You seek God and let God decide what your name needs to be. Because we get it wrong. We get it wrong. We lift up people, movie stars and musicians and athletes, and we lift their names up. And yet we don't even stop and think, and even some politicians. And we don't even stop and go, they can't even hold a family together. And that's not me picking on them. They're real people, but they're not successful in so much of life. So many of the things we want, they don't do well. Why are we lifting them up? And God may not make you, you know, some big famous person, but he can help you be a great dad. right? He can help you be a great spouse. He can help you love other people and be a great community member and church member. And God can build that name if you'll just seek his name. But like anything, and like all of us, Christian, it comes back down to you. And I hope that from just your own testimony and a few brief moments of getting a snapshot of your life, doesn't all make sense, doesn't it? It's not all fair, is it? But that doesn't limit God. It may be chaos to us, but it's not chaos to him. And let him take your life and say, Lord, you just take it where you want and see what he doesn't do with it along the way. And me, I'm not just here to preach and give you a lesson. I'm here to testify. And time fails me for the full story, but I'm here to testify. And forgive the way this sounds, but this is true about my life. Brother, I was white trailer trash. Stood in line for government food with my mom on different occasions as a kid. But God had something better for me. And God has something better for you if you'll let him. Congratulations.